Spring into reading this season with the Biblio Lifestyle 2024 Spring Reading Guide. In this season's guide, I've handpicked 21 of the best new books and I've organized them across 6 categories. So whether you're looking for a romance novel that will give you a happily ever after, a thrilling mystery to keep you guessing, or an immersive historical fiction book, this guide has a book or 3 or 7 just for you. Now, if 21 books sounds like too much for you, there's a minimalist reads list in the guide, which includes a list of 6 must-read books from across genres. But wait, that's not all. The Spring Reading Guide also includes fun recipes, spring activities, and lifestyle tips. So head on over to springreadingguide.com and download your copy of the guide. That's springreadingguide.com and download your free copy of the 2024 Spring Reading Guide. So download your free copy and discover your next favorite book. Happy reading! Hello, I'm Victoria from Biblio Lifestyle, and you're listening to the Reader's Couch podcast, the show that will help you bridge the gap between living a full and busy life to one where you're reading, learning new things, and having fun. Today on the couch, I'm so excited to welcome author Amy Avery to talk about her novel, The Longest Autumn. In The Longest Autumn, Amy Avery transports us to a world where the 4 seasons are gods. Each god is transported from what is known as the divine realm to the human world every season, and then they go back again via an ancient portal called the Mirror, and their escorts, known as heralds, can control. So in The Longest Autumn, we meet Tirna, a human herald for the god of autumn. And when they cross over into the human world for the season, the enchanted mirror that separates their worlds shatters, which means bad news for humans, as autumn will stretch out indefinitely. So we see crops beginning to fail, food reserves running out, and the threat of starvation looms. So we see Tirna working to repair the mirror while also trying to find out the cause of its destruction, all while a romance starts to bloom. But before we get into the episode, pretty please subscribe to the show if you haven't already, leave the podcast a 5-star rating, and write me a review if you love the show. Now, if you don't know what to write in the review, just give me a 5-star rating and tell me what episodes were your favorites and what genres you'd like me to read and cover more here on the show. So, thanks in advance. And now onto the episode with author Amy Avery. Hi friends, welcome again to The Reader's Couch. I'm your host, Victoria Wood, and here on the couch with me to talk about her debut novel, The Longest Autumn, is author Amy Avery. Hi Amy, welcome to The Reader's Couch.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
Yay! I'm excited you're here. Can't wait to talk about all things autumn, including The Longest Autumn. But how are you feeling? This is your debut novel. It's now out there. It's been out there. How excited are you? How are you feeling? What's the reception like?
It is very surreal. The writing process is a very long one. The publishing process is a very long one. And so for it to finally be out there is just very strange to know that other people are reading it, but it's very exciting. The reception's been pretty good. I've gotten some really nice, DMs and some nice feedback. And so it's just very satisfying to know that all the hard work paid off.
Yes. I can't even imagine. And yay for DMs. You know, I love hearing directly from readers, and I can't even imagine how it must feel, you know, as an author, just, you know, hearing from your people, essentially. It's great. But I want them to hear it from you. So tell us about The Longest Autumn. What can readers expect? What's your elevator pitch? And, you know, yeah, what can they expect when they pick up your book?
Yes, it is an adult fantasy novel. And In it, the main character, Tierna, is the Herald of Autumn, which means it is her job to escort the God of Autumn into the human world every year for his season. But this year, after they come through the portal, it breaks, which locks the world in autumn until it can be fixed. And of course, Tierna is the one accused of breaking it because she was the last person to touch it. So she has to figure out who broke it, help them figure out how to fix it so they can end autumn. Meanwhile, it stretches on and on. So all the problems that you would expect happen, crops are failing. There's a bit of a problem with illness spreading. And so it's kind of about how far she's willing to go to fix the mirror, but also to get her prestigious job back and prove her innocence.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I think the first thing I want to ask you is, like, what is your relationship like with the seasons? Because essentially, right, we are reading a book where each season essentially has its own god. You know, like, where did this idea come from in terms of, you know, aligning seasons with gods? And then, of course, you selected autumn, and we really kind of go there with the god of autumn. But yeah, just tell me about your relationship with seasons and where the inspiration came for this story.
I'd been kind of trying to think of ideas, and I had this concept of dealing with something that had to do with gods and mortals, kind of mythology style. And I was trying to think of, I wanted to create my own pantheon that was kind of something other than what we'd seen before. So rather than having gods of the same things that, you know, match up to like Greek mythology, I was trying to think of what else they could be the gods of. And for some reason, just seasons popped into my head. And then I was like, well, what if the seasons were personified? And kind of it just clicked and came together.
I love hearing that. I love the seasons. I'm a person who tries to live seasonally, you know, accept the highs and the highs and the lows that come with each season. So it was just really nice to just have a book and have essentially the season personified into a god. So let's get into our characters. So is it Tierna? Is that how you say it? Or Tierna?
Tierna.
Tierna. Okay. So we meet in your book, Tierna. She has kind of, you know, a special job, essentially. She's responsible for making sure that the god of the season, in this case, autumn, you know, leaves that realm and come to the human world and transport back. And you kind of essentially do this every season. And it's a really cool job. You know, it comes with a title. It's a high ranking thing, I guess is the best way I can describe it. And like you shared earlier in your pitch, unfortunately, the pathway, the mirror through which they travel back and forth has been destroyed and they can't go back until it's fixed. Tell us about Tierna, her job, who she is as a person, and just what she has going on before, you know, obviously realizing the mirror was destroyed.
Yes, she is. I kind of joke that Tierna has former gifted kid syndrome. She was raised to have this prestigious job by a mother who was a bit demanding, and always just has always had this high expectation of her and had this expectation for her life. So she kind of sees a lot of her status and she aligns her sense of self with this job. So when it breaks, that's, you know, kind of she loses her sense of self. But that's kind of who she is this is her life. That is the one thing that she has devoted herself to. In some ways, she's a little bit of a workaholic.
Yes, she sounds like a workaholic indeed. And like any true workaholic, you know, speaking from experience here, you discover that, you know, she's gutted when obviously the mirror has broken and, you know, she was the last person to touch it. And she was just so devastated at her demotion, so to say. So, of course, she has incentive to find out what happened to the mirror and the mirror's destruction, which is essentially the mystery at the center. But also, let's talk about Autumn, because seeing Autumn and Tierna kind of living their best life, tell me about just your concept of them, you know, leaving this realm and then coming to Earth and then just essentially living their best life while here.
Yeah, I did kind of want to explore what it was like for Tierna to be back in the human realm and, yeah, back with her friends, back living this kind of normal life. and what that was like. And kind of the same thing with Autumn is, instead of having this, you know, expectation that he's going to go back, is kind of stuck here. And one of the aspects of the book is that the longer Autumn spends in the human world, the more mortal he becomes. So I kind of wanted to explore what makes a god and what makes a human. What defines our humanity? So he starts feeling emotions. He starts building connections with people. And that was just kind of part of what I wanted to explore with them being stuck there for a while.
And then we have the method of transportation, which is a mirror, which is how Tirana and Autumn, you know, go back to their realm, but then come to Earth when essentially it's time for Autumn. Tell me about the mirror. I thought that was an interesting method of travel. Tell me about the idea or I guess reason for creating the mirror and then everyone's investment in trying to fix it.
Yeah, the idea behind the mirror was that I needed a portal. I needed some way for them to get from one world to the other. And the idea of just this mirror seemed so visually striking. I just had this mental image of it's this large red mirror. And I just liked the idea of it shattering as a great visual for representation of the fact that it's broken. It's fully broken. And it creates a way for them to know how to fix it is to, you know, repair it by putting all the pieces back together. And I wanted to show the normal, as you said, civilians and their connection to the mirror and this religion, because this is something that is important to them to have this change of seasons, to have the harvest and then have winter and spring. And so they immediately know the severity and importance of this mirror breaking. And so everybody, I kind of wanted to show how everybody would come together in a crisis. And in some ways in the book, I do also show how people don't come together.
Yes.
But in this case about the mirror breaking, I wanted to show, yeah, how everybody would pull their resources to help fix it.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And so as not to go into spoiler territory, I think I'll leave it here. But essentially, readers, the pitch is we have seasons. We have gods associated with each season. They go through a portal, in this case, a mirror. Come to Earth, we have our seasons, and then they leave. But then when it shatters, we're stuck perpetually in this season. So we're trying to, one, fix the mirror so Autumn can get out of here. And we're also following Tirana and seeing her trying to figure who broke the mirror as well. And hopefully get back her job and get back in good graces, because she's basically the escort for Autumn. So I had so much fun with this one. I love the season. So readers, I hope you'll give it a try. And I'm also hoping that Amy will humor me and play a game I've created called What Are We Doing All Autumn? Because the mirror's broken, we're stuck, and it's autumn all day, every day. And for the foreseeable future, the other seasons aren't coming back anytime soon. So I'm going to give you some rapid fire prompts, Amy, and you're going to tell me what activity you would rather do this autumn. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Let's go.
Awesome. All right. So would you rather visit a pumpkin patch or attend a fall festival? You know, they have food, they have drinks, and just a full-on festival.
I would probably do the pumpkin patch. I'm a little bit of a loner. I'm not a big fan of crowds. So I think, yeah, definitely exploring the pumpkin patch.
What about leaf pile jumping or going to a corn maze?
Ooh, that's a difficult one. Corn maze. Corn mazes are fun.
Yeah, I think they're fun too. Are we going apple picking or are we going on a hayride?
Oh, apple picking. Oh, yeah. I love apples.
Me too. Are we carving a pumpkin or are we going to a haunted house?
Probably carving a pumpkin. I'm a big chicken.
No, we don't like the scares. I'll go to a haunted house. Okay. Are we hiking or are we visiting a seasonal farmer's market? So it's only fall only produce.
Oh, seasonal farmers market. Even if it's fall only produce, I still like farmers markets.
Yeah, I love a good farmers market too. Now, the great American pastime. Are you tailgating at a football game or are you creating leaf art at home?
Oh, leaf art. I'm definitely more of an artist than a sports person.
I'm not a sports person, but my sons made me watch this entire football season. So I'm like, okay. I'm learning, but it's still not my thing. So no.
Yeah, my husband is a football fan, so I have watched some of it, but same thing. It's not my thing.
It's not my thing. Okay, are we making caramel apples or are you making your own costume for Halloween?
Oh, costumes. I used to make costumes and go to nerd conventions.
No way. That's so cool. Yeah. I love that. Okay, we roasting marshmallows or are we painting pumpkins?
Ooh, that's another difficult one. Marshmallows. Always go with the food one.
You have to go with the food. Have to go with the food. Okay. Now, you didn't want to go to the haunted house, but would you rather go to a Halloween party or bake the pie?
We're going to go with food again. We're going to go with pie.
We're going to go with pie. Amy, thank you so much for playing our game.
Yes, I had a lot of fun.
Yay. I love an either or. Especially one that's autumn themed. So seeing that you picked autumn for the season, is it fair to say autumn is your favorite?
It is. I joke that where I live, we don't really get one anymore. We get like summer until we get an ice storm. So we have like a week of autumn. And I say that's why I wrote the book, because it's my love letter to the season I don't get to see.
Oh, I love that. I love autumn. I'm in Florida, so I don't really... I don't get the full on autumn at all. It just gets cooler and that's about it. So, but I love just all the vibes, all the food with the season. And I love the decor. I love the cozy vibes. When I ask readers, they seem to like autumn best, like as their favorite season. I think summer is a close second.
I think autumn's just a great season to like sit around with a hot drink and curl up with a book by a fire. Without it being too cold.
Yeah, because we don't want it to be too cold. We also don't want it to be too hot because a heat wave. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that can be a bit challenging. Okay, so we are greedy as readers because we have the longest autumn now for listeners. If you haven't read it already, again, I hope you'll give this one a go. But can we expect other seasonally themed books for you? I mean, what projects are you working on? Maybe it's not seasonal, maybe it's different, but what can you tell us?
Unfortunately, due to the nature of publishing at the moment, I don't really have anything I'm allowed to talk about.
No, but is there another book though?
Not quite at the moment.
Okay. Are you working on anything separate from publishing contracts and all that?
I am working on some stuff. I'm trying to work on maybe building up my short story game.
Okay.
So I'm going to be submitting some of those. So I'm kind of doing that while we're in the process of some other things.
Awesome. I don't know why, but when I saw The Longest Autumn, I was thinking, okay, are we going to get the shortest summer, short winter, or maybe an anthology story collection where we get all the gods information on the other seasons that we didn't get in, The Longest Autumn. So yeah, like I said, I love a good, seasonally themed anything. So that's why I was curious. But, kind of digging more into your writing life. So now your debut is complete. You're working on some stuff. You can't really talk about it yet. But, looking back, if you could tell your younger writing self anything, because now you have a book on bookshelves, if you could tell your younger self anything, what would you tell her?
I would probably tell her to start reading more widely sooner. For a long time, I was strictly fantasy, occasional smatterings of sci-fi. And I feel like my writing really leveled up when I started reading outside my genre, because I started picking up tips from literary things, from mysteries, from romances, from thrillers. So I wish I had started reading outside that genre a lot earlier in my life.
I love hearing that, because I'm always an advocate for read different things, try a different genre, try a different book. So that's amazing. And it fits perfectly into the other things I want to ask you, which all revolve around books. I always want to know what authors are reading. So share with our listeners the last book or books you finished reading that you'd now recommend.
The last thing I finished reading was Our Wives Under the Sea by Julia Armsfield. And it was brilliant. It's a speculative literary in which a woman's wife has just returned from a deep sea expedition, but she's acting kind of weird and some bizarre stuff is starting to happen. And you're trying to figure out what happened while she was on the mission. It's told in dual perspective. One is current day with the wife who was on land, kind of reflecting on their relationship and how it's changing and telling what's happening now. Whereas the other one, it is the telling of what happened while they were under the sea and kind of going through and building up that mystery and that tension. And it's just literary. It's written in just stunning language. The character work is amazing. Highly recommend it.
Love that. What would you say was your favorite childhood book that you can remember?
I was really into, it's not actually a children's book, but I was very, very much into the All Creatures Great and Small series. Mm-hmm. I did grow up on a farm and I did grow up around a lot of animals. And so I just really loved that series by James Herriot. It's about a British veterinarian back in, you know, several decades ago. And it's just it's a nonfiction about his experiences as a vet.
But what books are you looking forward to reading in the year ahead?
I have a lot because I'm keeping an eye on a lot of the debuts that are coming out. So I've got a whole reading list planned. But the next one is coming out later this month, and it's Fathom Folk by Eliza Chan. And it is set in a world, it's a very water-based world where there are creatures in the water and people who live above the water. It involves a lot of different water-based mythological creatures from different societies and has to do with class structure and everything. And it just looks really, really interesting.
Sounds fun. So on the show, we love our authors, we love our books, but we also love our indie bookstores. So share with our listeners your favorite local indie or an indie you discovered on your travels.
I will say I am from the Midwest, so local is kind of a wide radius.
Yeah.
And I have several, but the one that I would probably shout out the most is the one where I had my launch party. It is here in Wichita, Kansas, and it's called Watermark Books and Cafe. They have a nice wide range of books. They have really passionate booksellers, as most indies do. And they have a great cafe with amazing coffee.
Ooh, I love that. And I love hearing about a launch party. Tell us about it. Like, okay, from beginning, like obviously knowing about it, then getting there and, you know, the atmosphere. I'd love to hear about your launch party.
It was actually, you know, I don't live in a very widely populated area, so it was relatively small, but it was well attended. It was a lot of friends and family, which was nice, a lot of my writing friends. So we had a nice Q&A, and everybody kind of got to hang out and talk, and I got to do a book signing, and it was the first time I'd signed books in public, which was very surreal. So it was a good time. It was kind of my first public outing with the book, which is it was just fun.
And you know what? I love a more intimate gathering than something, you know, just really big and splashy. So having friends and family, I mean, that sounds amazing. And, you know, signing books and doing all that good stuff. Yeah, it sounds fun. So yay for you.
Thank you. It was very, very fun. I liked it.
So in addition to the books and the bookstores and the reading, sometimes readers have reader problems, and sometimes that manifests in, you know, a reader slump, or sometimes people are just struggling to find time to read. And even though, especially for me, I'm always encouraging just friends and people I meet online and just everyone everywhere, you know, try and get one page in or two. I know hearing, you know, other advice and other points of view can also be beneficial. So share with our listeners what tips have worked for you, or what advice you would give for one, a listener who is going through a reading slump and they're trying to get out of it, or two, a listener who is struggling to find time to read.
For someone in a slump, and actually this would work for someone who's trying to find time to read a little bit too, is if you're okay with short stories, to pick up an anthology, because it feels bite-sized. It's easier to be like, okay, I'm just going to read a story, rather than feeling the daunting nature of a book. And then if that story isn't for you, you can just flip to the next one instead of starting a book and feeling like you're DNFing a whole, do not finishing a whole book. Same thing with if you don't like short stories, maybe try picking up a novella for the same reason. That's kind of a compromise between the two. For people who are struggling to find time to write, that is a very, very hard one. My trick is that I read on my lunch break, because I get a lunch break at work.
I like that. I would journal sometimes during my lunch break. So yeah, I like hearing that people read and, you know, do other little things for the self. Does that make sense? Because it's like you're working, you need to nourish your body, you need to eat, but just finding that little extra time to do something for yourself aka reading or journaling. That sounds great.
Yeah, I feel like you just need a moment to check out from work brain, and then you can check back in a little more refreshed.
Exactly, exactly. It's just a great way for sure to refresh. So, Amy, getting back to your book, The Longest Autumn, what are you hoping maybe readers might think or feel, or what conversations you're hoping we might have after we've turned the last page on The Longest Autumn?
The biggest thing I think I hope for is that readers feel seen. I do have some various representations in the book. I won't go into details without spoiling anything, yeah. But I hope that there are readers who are like, yes, this represents me, and I feel connected to those characters. And I just want to make people feel things, good things, bad things. That's kind of, you know, what I enjoy as a reader. And so that's what I want to pass on as a writer.
I love hearing that. Amy, thank you so much for coming on the show and speaking with me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I've had so much fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Reader's Couch podcast. Please subscribe to the show, share it with a friend, and take a few seconds to leave a rating and review. Until next time, stay lounging, stay reading, and whenever you're in doubt, go straight to your local bookstore or library. Thanks again for listening, and happy reading.